Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legends. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man. You know how it is, kind of a slow sports day. The Mets played earlier today. You know, we're going to discuss what happened to the Mets in the final game against the Cubs. Then we're going to preview the Yankee-Red Sox series as they're going to play their – they're also going to play their last game before the All-Star game on Tuesday. Then we'll talk about what Reggie Jackson spoke about when he talked about A-Rod and other Hall of Famers. We'll get to that also. Switch gears to the big news that happened this week in the NBA with some new Knicks and new Nets coming to the city. We'll also talk about another major move that happened in the NBA and also talk a little bit about Amari Toomer and what he had to say about his former team, the Giants. And lastly, as usual, you know, give a little summary little preview of what's going on in sports entertainment. And folks, you guys know the number, you know the deal. We talk sports entertainment and everything else. So give us a call, 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. Make your voices heard. We know this show. We talk sports and entertainment. But without further ado, let's lead off with a little Mets baseball here. Mets fell to the Cubs by the score of 7-0. Jonathan Nease, he didn't have it today. He gave up 7 runs, I think 9 hits. One of those hits was, of course, Sterling Castro's 3-run home run. And Mets have pretty much lost the whole game. Before the Star Spangled Banner played, they were pretty much losing because first inning, the Cubs put a 4 spot on the Mets, and Mets never recovered. As you could see, Mets was shut down by the Cubs. And what else was I going to say? Mets was 0-8. And with runners in scoring position. So Mets lose 2 out of 3 this series and also 5 out of 6 overall this year. And prior to that, Mets had a pretty good week. I mean, they're 3-3, but they prior to that they won they won 2 out of 3 out of the Phillies, and one of them was a dramatic come back from behind win on Thursday night with David Wright getting a walk-off single off Papelbon. And as you know, Papelbon, man, he, you know, the Mets are Papelbon's daddy right now.
Certainly looks like it.
Yeah, and Wright, I mean, you know, Wright hasn't been this clutch since 06. I mean, Wright's hitting like over 400 with people in scoring position, but unfortunately, him and the other teammates didn't bring their bats to play today, and yeah, we fell by the final score 7-0.
Well, I didn't see the game. I didn't see the game, but I heard. But today's game, I mean, I guess the Mets just they didn't they weren't prepared today. They were still in bed. They were half awake.
Yeah, definitely. And let me see what day was that. Friday, they were losing to the Cubs too. Santana had a horrible game. And as a matter of fact, the game they came back on Thursday, Dickey had a horrible game. So back-to-back games, Dickey and Santana had 2 horrible starts. But on on Thursday, Mets was able to come back. On Friday, Mets came back to 7-6. They scored, I believe, like 5 runs in the 9th, including a Valdez spin home run. Let me see what happened. Duda, he was going to hit a ball that would have been the tying, and quite possibly the winning run, if my memory serves me right. But Marmol got lucky. He caught the ball, you know, in his glove in the air and turned the double play to end the game on Friday. Saturday, Mets bounced back, and they won. Duda hit a home run. Valdespin hit a home run. And G was brilliant. He won 8 innings. Mets won that score 3-1. Parnell got the save that day on Saturday. And he hasn't given up a run since, I believe, June 10th.
Wow.
So he's been pretty dominant this year.
Yeah, well, you know, if the Mets want to make the playoffs, the pitching staff, they're going to have to stop, you know, giving up runs early and putting the Mets out of the game. Because the Mets, they don't have a high-powered offense. You know, they're more of a scrappy team that try to put runs together. And they don't have really, other than Wright, they don't really have a big bat in the lineup, you know, so the pitching has to hold up if they want to make the playoffs.
Absolutely. For the most part, it has been obviously the strength of the team.
Right. So, you know, they have to, like, Santana and Ari Dickey, every start they have to be on their game.
Yeah. Yeah, you ain't lying. And, yeah, the All-Star game is going to be this Tuesday. And, you know, Mets, you know, they're going to need some help. You know, they're going to need a right-hand power bat. Obviously, if Bay was producing, which he should be coming back shortly after the All-Star break, he would have been the perfect guy who would have filled their need. I mean, there's interest in Carlos Quinton and maybe a backup catcher, but you know, right now Mets are not going to make any deals until quite possibly later in the month, and of course they're not going to give any of their top guys, which they shouldn't, obviously.
Of course, yeah, they can't. But they definitely need a big bat, another big bat in the lineup alongside Ray.
Yeah, definitely. Rats so far having an MVP year.
Oh yeah, he's definitely an All Star this year.
Yep.
Yeah, it's he's batting what, 350 or something?
Yeah, 350 something. Like, I think coming into today, he was batting 354, I think, or 357, something like that. But it went down. It should be probably is 350 right now. He didn't really hit well today, so.
Oh, okay. Well, he has like 40, 50 RBIs.
He has close to six. He has like 59 RBIs.
Nine, yeah.
And 11 home runs. Yeah, he's having a pretty good year.
He's having a great year.
Yeah, I know. And he's struck out at least 46 times. And the last couple of years, he's been striking out frequently, but. He mentioned recently that when he went to Port St. Lucie, he watched some of his old footage of him when he was in his, you know, I was going to say in his prime, but then again, you know, I mean, he's still a young guy. I mean, you know, in his successful years.
Yeah.
And he looked at the difference between him and when he was struggling. So, you know, he got it back.
Yeah.
Right back.
Helped out.
Yeah, it is.
Just imagine how much better his numbers would be if he had someone to protect him in the lineup.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right.
Because
Ike Davis is starting to come along, but, he's still batting like 203. So, I mean, that shows you how horrible he was for most of the season.
Right.
But, yeah, they're, you know. And credit to Ruben Tejada. I mean, he's replaced Reyes flawlessly. I mean, other than the stolen base, but he's a very intelligent player for his age. He's like what, 23.
And how is Jose doing in Miami? I haven't heard much about him.
He's not doing that good. He's hitting like in the low 200, I think maybe 220s, three home runs. But then again, he's never been a home run hitter. So
right.
The home run totals don't really matter. But he hasn't really been that great. I mean, I don't know. In my opinion, I think he misses New York already. But hey, that's his, you know.
I guess he's partying too much in Miami.
Probably. Yeah, for real. But switching gears to the other team in town, the Yankees, they won 2 out of 3. I mean, they won the, what was it? They won the first game Friday night.
10-8.
Repeat that. I didn't hear what you said.
Won that one on Friday, 10-8 was the score.
Right.
And they won the first game of the doubleheader yesterday, 6-1.
That is true. Andrew Jones hit two home runs. See, me and you got that ESP thing going here, reading each other's minds here.
Yeah, he thinks it's 1999, Andrew Jones.
Yeah, he sure does.
Hit home runs and catching five balls in the outfield next to the wall.
Yeah, he really been drinking the fountain of youth lately.
Oh yeah.
And he homered in the second game also.
Yeah,
but that was in a losing effort. Was that 9-5?
Yeah, Finals rule 9-5 of that the Red Sox brought up this guy from AAA called Pedro Siriciano. I can't pronounce his last name, but
he's well, I don't know who he is.
He's a young kid from the from AAA, and he played good yesterday for them. He had 4 hits and 3 RBIs, I think.
Well, I mean, you know, they need that game, and just like Red Sox, they need this game tonight because they need to save face. But then again, no matter what they do, it's not. What they have to do is just try to stay even because they gain no ground from this Yankee series.
And the Red Sox are done. They're 9 games behind us.
They're done. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They were done before the season even started. But for the Red Sox players to even think of, you know, maybe trying to do a comeback, they had to win 3 out of, at the very minimum, win 3 out of 4. But, I mean, let's face it, they are done.
Yeah, they're pretty much done. The whole NL East is done, I think. I mean, the teams are not that good this year in the NL East. Early on, it seemed like the Orioles were decent and the Rays, but I see a lot of these teams, they're flawed.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, throughout baseball, there's, like, really parity all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, no one's running away with the division this year.
In the American League, I'd say there's only two top teams, the Yankees and Rangers.
Yeah.
And the Rangers, like, they've eliminated us 2 years ago in the ALCS, so I still want some revenge on them, but there's a lot of weak teams this year.
Yeah, it is.
Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's a lot of weak teams, and because of that, there's a lot of parity. You know, it could be anybody's year, well, except for the Cubs. But
right.
Other than that, you know, any team could pretty much win it.
Yeah, definitely.
And the All-Star game is gonna start this Tuesday. Actually, they're gonna be in Kansas City. I know you're looking forward to that. Mets are gonna have only 2 representatives: R.A. Dickey and Wright, and you guys have the usual. I think you have 4 this time.
Yeah, I think it's Jeter, Granderson, Sabathia, and Cano.
Right. And Dickey most likely won't be able. They haven't made a decision who's going to start, but apparently Tony La Russa is afraid that Buster Posey, the starting catcher from the Giants, he's not going. He's worried that he might not be able to catch the knuckleballer. So that's something worth noting right there.
Do you think it's just La Russa trying to stick it to the Mets?
It could be. It could be possibly. I mean, I know he has no love lost for the Mets, but I mean, it could be possible. But then again, I mean, it could be a valid reason. I mean, you don't know if the guy could catch. But then again,
yeah.
I would take the shot. You know,
He
deserves the start. You should put the best guy on the year of the year so far and make him start. That's just the way it is. I mean, it's just the whole stupid. Oh, you know, this whole stipulation is dumb. It's been dumb since the beginning. And of course, I'm talking about whoever wins the All-Star game wins home field advantage in the World Series.
Right.
I mean, there was only 2 reasons why they had this stupid deal created. 1, so for ratings, and 2, so that they felt the players at the time, like Barry Bonds, you know, they didn't really take the game seriously.
Right.
And that's why they put it in there. But to be honest with you, if you don't like baseball or the All-Star game, you're not going to watch it anyway.
Yeah, true.
So This whole thing made no sense to me. It still doesn't make any sense to me. And remember, of course, that was the year after, before that. That's when they had the whole finishing a tie, the All-Star game finishing a tie. And that was just utterly ridiculous right there.
Well, I've always said that the team who has the best record in baseball should get home court advantage.
I agree. I totally agree with that. Or also do the you know, alternating year thing that they did. But yeah, I totally
like the
agree
alternating thing. I really didn't like the alternating thing because sometimes you'd have years where the team didn't have the best record day and they didn't deserve it.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
Like that.
I know, I agree with you, but that's better than that. I totally agree with you. It should be whoever has the best record wins, period.
Right.
But even the alternating one is better than this, having the messing up the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Imagine if the NBA All-Star game, you know, had that same stipulation. That'd be horrible.
Yeah.
You'd be, with the way how they play defense, you'd be like, okay, I'm going to the, all right, my team got home field advantage, and then the other team gives up a three. It's like,
if it was meant to be taken serious, then I would assume that they would play defense or something, you know.
True, I doubt it. The way how these players are, man, I doubt it, man. Because most of these
players, baseball, you know, they play serious now as opposed to, like, in the old days, where it's more of an exhibition, but it means something more now, you know.
Well, it depends on what time period you're talking about. You're talking about, like, in the you know, like, in the 50s to, like, the you know, into the 90s, yeah, they took it seriously, and they didn't have the whole they didn't have that stipulation. What really messed it up is because the, you know, interleague, you know, the interleague, everybody plays each other all the time, so it's not that whole, you know, shocking thing like, oh my gosh, it's Hank Aaron versus Whitey Ford or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like, and nowadays with the free agency, everybody goes from National League to American League and back again. It's like nobody really has loyalty to a certain team. It's extremely rare. You know what I mean? So that's another thing that really affected the whole All-Star game because, I mean, there's very few players that are stay with one team, let alone one league. So I think that's another thing that messed it up.
Right.
But talking about All-Star, perennial All-Star, Reggie Jackson, he said some interesting comments, of course. He said a lot, and one of the stuff he said was that, you know, he pretty much was saying that him and his Hall of Fame, fellow Hall of Famers, if a steroid person gets inducted to the Hall of Fame, that they might not even show up.
Mm.
But he did contradict himself. He did say that, you know, he felt Clemens, since Clemens won the perjury case against him, that he should be inducted. And he also said that Pettit, even though he was, you know, found to take, he admitted that he took performance enhancing drugs, he thinks he should and will be inducted.
Yeah. I didn't hear the Gary Carter comments. What did he say about Gary Carter?
Oh, Gary Carter, he was pretty much saying that Kirby Puckett and Gary Carter, among other pitchers, I think Burt Blyleven, are in Hall of Famers.
Why? Why?
I don't know. I don't think he goes into depth why. But I'd have to read to find out, you know, on another day to find out. But I don't think he specifies why. But the huge news was that he was talking about A-Rod, and, you know, he was saying A-Rod's a friend of his, but, you know, the steroids taint his career. And to him, Hank Aaron is, you know, still the home run champ. And you know what? Other than the Hall of Fame stuff, I have to agree with him. I mean, A-Rod's career is tainted, you know, with the steroid use, because when everybody speculate that Barry Bonds did it, and of course we now know he did it. Mm-hmm. Everybody was looking to A-Rod to be the guy who would, when he breaks the record, he'll cleanse the record of, you know, steroid user.
Yeah.
But now he did it, and I mean, to me, I, at that point, I do agree with him. I do agree that the home, to, in my opinion, the home run champ is Henry Aaron.
Yeah, and I heard that Jackson had a talk with A-Rod. He apologized to him.
Yeah, he also apologized to Gary Carter's widow also. I mean, to me, I mean, everybody is entitled to their own opinions. I mean,
yeah.
But the timing with Gary Carter seemed just kind of weird. I mean, Gary Carter just died a couple of months ago. And he's bringing, I mean, it just seemed kind of odd.
Yeah, well, you know, that's Reggie Jackson, very opinionated guy.
I know he loves to stir their drink, but, I mean, come on. This is, I don't know, that was too uncalled for. I mean, I agree, like I said, I agree with what he said about the Hall of Famer's stance on steroids. I do agree Pettit will go in. I mean, because, you know, Pettit has been, you know, a great pitcher. And especially what puts him over the top is his postseason success with the Yankees. So,
yeah.
Hey, I mean, actually, you could even put the Astros in there, too. I mean, he helped them go to the World Series, so
yeah. That's
another thing. But especially as a Yankee, I think that puts him over the top.
Very good, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, so I think Pettit will definitely. I think Pettit will go in. I mean, as of right now, Pettit is a borderline Hall of Famer, but I think he will get in because of his success. You know, in the regular season and most importantly in the postseason. So.
Definitely going in the Yankee Hall of Fame, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And speaking of another former teammates or former player, you know, former great players talking about their teammates, Amari Toomer, he's now trying to start his career as an analyst. And he said some, I don't know if you heard about this, but he said some, I guess for lack of a better term, crazy stuff that he had to say about Eli. He said that he would pick Tony Romo over him in a big spot, to paraphrase what he was saying.
I heard about it.
That, I mean,
if he wanted a guy that's going to throw less interceptions and be more productive, higher completion percentage, he'll go with Tony Romo.
But, I mean, come on. I mean, the dude is a two-time champion. I mean, two more of our people know how good Eli is. I mean, Eli, I mean, he's had, you know, two of the greatest Super Bowl performances ever. You know what I mean? This guy, I mean, he's dramatically improved. And before the season even started, he said that, you know, he thinks he's in that class. And everybody scoffed at that idea, even though, you know, people, there are still some doubters about Eli's abilities.
Yep.
And he proved everybody wrong. I mean, of course, and this is after Eli won the championship. I mean, won the championship. This was, you know what I mean? This was in the before the season even started. He said that he's in that class, but apparently people didn't take him seriously. And look what happened. Here's my thought about it. I have no problem with him having his own opinions, but now there's rumors that Amari Toomer is just saying that just so he can get attention.
Possible,
you know what I mean?
Possible. You know, it is possible. He is going to be he is a broadcaster now. He does some things with the NFL Network and ESPN. So I guess he's trying to draw attention to himself, but at the end of the day, man, come on. Eli's a much better quarterback than Romo, even though Romo has better numbers.
Yeah.
And even
yeah.
Romo will tell you that Eli is better than him.
I mean, it goes without saying. I have no problem with people having their own opinion. Everybody's – sometimes people are wrong, sometimes people are right. I mean, I'm not always right, obviously. But, you know, the problem I have with it is if he's just saying it just to stir the pot and get attention, I mean, I do have a problem with that. I mean –
right.
Say it if you believe it. You know what I mean? You don't have to say it to get attention.
Right, right.
It's just my whole thought of it. If he truly believes that, then, hey, that's his opinion, you know. That's cool. But if he doesn't believe that and he's just saying it just to stir the pot, that's just, I don't know, that's just, I don't know, seem kind of petty, trying to get that much attention for no, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you don't even believe in.
Right.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, but let's talk about the Knicks here. Knicks, they get the veteran Jason Kidd. Of course, he's 39, and obviously, Knicks got him 10 years too late. But as long as they match the offer with Lynn, it'll be a good move to have a bench, a guy off the bench who won a championship. He reunites with his former teammate, Tyson Chandler.
Yep.
You know, I think that's a good move. I mean, you know, him trying to mentor Lynn, show him the ropes. You know, I think it's a good move.
Me too. I think, you know, we couldn't get Nash, so of course, second best option would be Jason Kidd.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Obviously, and of course, Nash surprised everybody and went to the Lakers. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I always expect Lakers to get, you know, great players through trades and free agency. And I mean, Lakers are the Yankees of basketball. Let's be real. Even though Celtics have two more championships than they do, but Lakers is the Yankees of basketball.
Yeah.
So normally I'm not really surprised when they get somebody. And folks, you heard it from me first. Don't be surprised if they get Dwight Howard comes to the Lakers. I think he had a shot before, but he turned him down. But
right,
never know. If he don't go to Brooklyn, you might see him in L.A.
Possible.
Yeah, but speaking of Brooklyn, man, but before I go to Brooklyn, Camby, he met with the Knicks. So, you know, he might come back, hopefully, you know, be a backup guy. But there's some rumors that he want to start. So if he wants to start, then that pretty much cancels his chances with the Knicks because, I mean, we got the defensive player of the year in Tyson Chandler. So hopefully he's willing to come back as a bench guy, you know, the backup Tyson Chandler. I think he's 39 also.
Yeah, he's all up there, but I wouldn't mind him coming back to the Knicks. I mean, as long as he can stay healthy and help us, you know.
Oh yeah,
I wouldn't mind.
And we know that's been his kryptonite in a Knick uniform, staying healthy.
Oh yeah.
And then what exacerbated that situation is that we traded him for Antonio McDyess, and the rest is history. And that guy couldn't stay healthy at all.
Yeah. Yep. I remember that.
Oh man. And yeah, let me see, what else? Right, the other news, Darren Williams re-signed with the Nets. They acquired Joe Johnson and his nearly $100 million contract to Brooklyn. I mean, money-wise, that's an albatross, but what's his name? Joe Johnson is a very talented guy right there. And with Darren Williams, you know, send him up, you know, he could have a career year.
Him and if they get Dwight Howard, yeah, they would be a very good team.
Yeah, right now I say Knicks and Nets are in the same level, but if they get Howard, man, that is a serious championship contending team right there.
Well, they have to get Howard because right now I don't see them quite on the Knicks level yet.
Mm-hmm.
They'll need to get Howard in order to be on the Knicks level because Knicks still have a few more pieces than they do.
Yeah, but I think if they get Howard, I think they'd be better than this.
I don't know. They get
a lot of
pieces in that trade.
I hope not.
For Johnson. But we'll see.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong. I hope even if they do get Howard, we're still better than them. You know, but
yeah,
we'll have to wait and see. And Ray Allen surprised everybody. He leaves the big three and joins the big four down in Miami.
Yep.
Now he leaves the team that eliminated him out of the playoffs, and now he goes to the rival Heat.
Yep, join the enemy. But I guess problems with Rondo, and he felt disrespected by Celtics. That's why I guess he joined the Miami Heat.
Yeah, and they seem, I mean, I never got it. I mean, until he left, I didn't know there was. They kept it. They pretty much kept that in house. I had no idea him and Ronda had any beef. I mean, they worked cohesively as a unit. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On the field, on the court. And I guess, I mean, from what I heard, they never had any arguments, but, you know, they just have a total different philosophy. Ray Allen was, you know, a son of a military, a father served in the military, while, you know, he's, you know, like a, you know, like a person who follows order, while Rondo is like a free spirit, loosey-goosey kind of guy. And their whole, you know, philosophies on life kind of clashed at times.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But another thing that he that made him leave is that he felt that Riley, you know, wined and dined him and made him feel like he was wanted.
Yep.
But at the end of his Celtics career, that he was always brought up in trade rumors, and he felt like, you know, why is he the guy out of the big three that's or big four, including Rondo, that always keep being rumored in trades?
Right.
So he felt a little disenfranchised with the Celtics franchise, and that's why he left.
Well, you know, if he feels that's going to be a better place for him, then good luck to him.
Yep, good luck to him until he gets eliminated in the playoffs, hopefully, by the Knicks.
I hope so.
I hope so, too, man. Yeah, let's switch gears, lastly, to sports entertainment. I can't remember what happened. Oh, yes, AJ, man, she attacked CM. She threw CM Punk and Daniel Bryan through a table to end Raw.
Yeah, I remember.
That's like the only thing I remember. Wait, who else came? Oh yeah, right, she kudos to the producer pointed that out before she threw Daniel. CM Punk through the table. She kissed both Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And and she threw him to the table, and I'm trying to remember what else happened. Oh, DDP returned.
That's right.
Yeah, he came back. That was the right. Doink the Clown also showed up. Heath Slater actually beat a legend, Doink the Clown. It was the Brooklyn Brawler, dressed up as Doink the Clown. And then after Heath Slater finally beat a legend, DDP, the legend I was hinting last week to the folks listening to last week's episode, he celebrated with him, and of course he hit the Diamond Cutter on him to finish it off. And then on SmackDown, they had the whole American Bash on SmackDown. American Bash used to be a pay-per-view event, I think, for both WCW and then WWE.
Yeah.
But they made it into the SmackDown episode.
It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so pretty good week for that as well.
Yep.
Oh yeah, Brock Lesnar should be showing up in a couple of weeks. And give his answer for the SummerSlam, which I don't know about you, I'm guessing the answer is yes.
Oh yeah, of course.
So you know, that's something to look forward to. And hey folks, you know what time it is. McCall, you want to say anything before the show?
Let's just have a good summer, you guys, and stay safe.
All right. Thanks for that, McCall. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Thanks for the shout-out here, too. And, of course, importantly, I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for the episode of Sports Urban Legend. I'm William Ramo. Enjoy the summer. See you guys next time.